Hi, this is Allison Gingras, host of A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras, your on-air book club. A Seeking Heart features daily live discussions, weekly giveaways, and author interviews. We don't just review books, we share them, and you're invited to participate by calling in or posting your comments on social media. The best part, no reading necessary. I got you covered. Please visit A Seeking Heart show page on breadboxmedia.com for showtimes and featured books. Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. Good Monday morning, starting our second week of Advent this year, 2016. It's flying by. I can't believe it's almost the end of the year. Christmas is almost here. In the new year, 2017. That's insane. That's just crazy to say, considering I was here for a very short time in the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. Just time is flying. I had this week we're going to, I was going to say I had a really wonderful weekend, I want to tell you all about. But our book this week is Around the Table, R. Scott Heard, Ave Maria Press. It is retelling the story of the Eucharist through the eyes of Jesus's first followers. Scott Heard is one of my favorite authors. He is the author of Forgiveness, The Catholic Approach, Pauline Books and Media, which completely just transformed my life. And I've talked about it on the show. I will talk about it again in the new year, as I want to do a little bit more with forgiveness, trust, joy, those things that I talk about in my retreats. I would like to do a little bit more of that with you as we move into 2017. It's good. God is good. God is merciful, and He is loving, and He is good. And sometimes our circumstances are not good, and it can be hard for us to see that goodness in God and in the world, but it's there. He's unchanging. He is with us. And if today is a day where you need to know that God is good, I'm telling you, He's good, and He loves you. He loves you a lot. And the Eucharist is such a sign of that. It is so hard to understand. It's a sacred mystery. It's mystical. It's beyond our comprehension as human beings. So to look at these first believers, to listen to what they had to say, to share their experiences is really quite a gift to help us understand the Eucharist more. No, because we'll never understand it completely, but just to help us in that journey, because sometimes it can be difficult to, you know, take it maybe seriously or to see it beyond a symbol if we don't really know what it is that we're receiving, who we are receiving. And last week's book, The Eucharist and the Rosary, Matt Swain, was such a great lead into this week's book, Around the Table, as we have this time of year of great Thanksgiving. It makes sense to spend time focused on the thing that I am the most thankful for, that is Jesus in the gift of the Eucharist. So let me tell you a little about my weekend. It was one of those weekends where it was just awesome. You know, you look on the calendar and you think, phew, this is crazy. I have just an event after event after event. And I know this is the time of year where that happens. And it can be quite overwhelming, and you think, I'm going to be either exhausted or sick by the end of it. And I am such a pessimist that I'm always like thinking about what's going to go wrong. There's no way this is all going to fall into place. But praise be to God, it totally did. So the first thing I did on Friday is after adoration and visiting my awesome godmother, I went to something called Lift, liftedhigher.com for more information. It is something here in the Boston area, though I know they are willing to travel, and they do a night of praise and worship music, and they are such an incredible band led by John Niven, and they're just amazing. And just something about Christian music, Catholic Christian music, that just lifts your soul, and you're just praising the Lord, the loud music, and they have lights and smoke. It's fantastic. It's so cool. Then they have a speaker. It was Oscar Romero. It's my husband's fault. He kept saying Oscar Romero, who is a saint. He was a priest that was murdered, actually, as he was doing Mass, as he was elevating the host. He was shot. But Oscar Rivera. There we go. And then they do adoration in a way that so few people have had an opportunity to experience adoration in this way. Their monstrance is ginormous. Monstrance, again, is the gold holder for the Eucharist. Their Eucharist, their bread, their host, the host is humongous. And it's dark with just the lights of the stage, which is blue and purple. And they have a spotlight on the monstrance and Father. This was incredible because we were in Boston. We were near the seminary. There's about six seminarians in the procession. So we had the cross, we had candles. Oh, it was beautiful. And then an incense, which I love. I love the smell of incense. The bells and smells of the Catholic Church. Some of my favorite parts of being Catholic. So Father processes Jesus in, because right by me, I was like right on the edge, and it was just so powerful just to have him so close. And then they play music and there's meditation. Father Matt Williams, who is just a rock star priest, who says a meditation during the adoration. There's some quiet time. Then I also got to go to confession. There's confessions happening at the same time. Father Matt, during his reflection, inspired the hearts of, there's many, many kids there. It's mostly meant for, well, it's all ages now, but it started off as a high school kind of event, life teen type event. And now it is all ages. There's middle school kids there. I saw some babies there and some more mature peeps like myself and even older. It was amazing. It was jam packed. It was a cathedral and it was jam packed. Parking stunk, but the Lord provided and we got there. But the confession, so during the reflection, he started to talk about confession. There's about 10 priests there hearing confessions. And the line literally went from the confessional, the big at the front of the church, all the way to the back of the church. Easily 200 or 300 kids and adults went to confession. That's incredible. What a great way to start Advent. And they got through all of them. In fact, there was just a few left in the line and they were wrapped up their last song. And the MC, Deacon Kelly, came up to them and he's like, one more song. And it had to have been so that they would draw it out just a little bit longer to get those last couple of kids in. So what a blessing that lifted. Lift Ministries, liftedhire.com is to the Boston area. And again, I know they'll travel, but I got to go to confession and I wasn't going to go. And there was at this point, not 300 kids in line. And the Spirit just inspired me to go. Cause I was speaking on Sunday and I always try to go to confession before I speak and to a live audience. And, it was amazing. So I went in the room and there was two priests available and I just knew I was supposed to go to the young man sitting on the left. And after I made my confession, just rattled off all the lovely ways that I let God down. And there's quite a few. He spoke to me about renouncing the spirits in our lives that are detrimental. So, for instance, he said, you know, I'm starting to feel doubtful. You know, the spirit of doubt, I renounce you in the name of Jesus Christ. The spirit of depression, I didn't renounce you in the name of Jesus Christ. You say it out loud. You renounce it. You just don't let it in. He said, build a fortress around yourself. Build this wall that the devil can't penetrate because he is always looking for a way in. And our weaknesses, our temptations, our doubts, our fears, anxieties, those let him in. And we need to build up a wall against that. So to renounce them out loud, it's kind of hard when you're at work to renounce things out loud, but you can say it in your head. You know, God hears you. The book that I read about renouncing says that the spirits, the demons can't hear you, but I have a feeling that the Lord allows, you know, he hears you and he's the one that's in control. So if you can say it out loud, it also feels really good to say it out loud, not going to lie. But if you can't say it in your head, you know, just the spirit of whatever it is that's bringing you down, the spirit of envy, the spirit of jealousy, the spirit of doubt, the spirit of worry, the spirit of, you know, anger, whatever that is, just renounce it in the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus has such power. And I don't think we think of that. We remember that. We struggle with things and one of the things that happened to me on Saturday, because the next morning I woke up and went to Weight Watchers, is that I had gained 0.6 pounds, which just doesn't sound like much. But when you're 6 pounds away from your goal, every ounce counts, and it's very annoying. Of course, I also, on the way home with my friend, went out for a glass of wine and some chips, so chips and salsa. So gaining gaining 0.6 pounds really shouldn't have been a shock to me, since only 4 or 5 hours earlier I was knocking back a little wine. Gee. But, you know, sometimes that weight loss, it for me is a struggle. And I think it's time for me to add that into my renouncing. The spirit that feels that you can't not eat that, I renounce you in the name of Jesus. I have willpower. I have self-control. I have all the gifts that I need from God to be a healthier human being and to resist eating almond cookies, especially since I think almonds is one of the things that's triggering the eczema that I'm suffering with. So perhaps, you know, there is more reasons to turn to God in every little thing. Like, I used to think that I only needed to turn to God in the big things, and like I needed to hold them like 3 genie wishes. Like, I can't ask God for help with that because I might need him later for something bigger. But that's not how God works at all. He is there for everything, and he wants everything. He wants all of us, every single thought, every fear, every hope, every dream, every suffering, every joy. God wants it all because he gave it to us. And what a better way to thank him, but then to give it back, to give him the praise and the glory for all that is happening in our house, in our hearts, and to turn to him in all things. When I come back, I'm going to finish up telling you about my incredible weekend. My husband and I went to a live show of Christmas Carol. That was really cool. We gave a talk on Sunday. I wanted to tell you how that went. And then we'll turn to Around the Table, retelling the story of the Eucharist through the eyes of Jesus's first followers, R. Scott Heard, Ave Maria Press. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're talking about our weekend. If you want to share your weekend, I'd love to talk with you. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Just give me a call. Let me know what Christmas or Advent or family thing you did this weekend and how you felt the Lord blessed you in it. I love a full-on Catholic weekend. I just love it when that happens, when the Lord just brings such blessings. And sometimes those blessings come very simply with the family. A couple weeks ago, our weekend was spent decorating and watching Christmas movies and just, you know, taking hikes and being together. This is my new thing. I never hiked. My husband's been hiking for years. He loves it. He's always tried to get me to go. There's really no chance he's going to get me to go in the summer or the spring. But we had a opportunity to go a few months ago. It's the fall. It's gorgeous here in the fall in New England. And I uncovered these boots from L.L. Beans, these hiking boots I probably bought in 1980-something. But it's L.L. Beans, so they're still in really good condition. And I mentioned I don't hike. So they're pretty much like new. And I thought, okay, I'll go with you for a hike. I needed to get out of the house that afternoon. Well, it has sparked in me this new desire to hike, and it's been so much fun. In fact, Thursday, I will not be live. We'll have an encore presentation for a couple of reasons. One, it's my son's 21st birthday. That's insane. Don't know how that happened. And my husband took the day off because he had one left for the year. And him and I'm going to go for a hike. Hopefully the weather will cooperate. Can't think of a better way to spend the Immaculate Conception and the birth of my son, the anniversary this of my son's birth. Then we're going to take him out for lunch in his first, well, legal, his first legal drink. I'm not foolish to think that this is his first drink, but I think that will be such a beautiful day. So that's why I'm doing the book today. Usually we do it Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, but Thursday, I won't be here live. It'll be an encore. If you got a special show, one that you really enjoyed and want me to show on Thursday, send me a message, Allison@breadboxmedia.com. We will replay whatever you'd like. You can always request. They're over at breadboxmedia.podbean.com anytime. But if you're someone who likes to listen at 10 a.m. live and you have a specific show or host, a big guest that you want me to rebroadcast at any time, we're doing the encores on Tuesday or again on this Thursday. And then there's a vacation week coming up at the end of December. I'd love your suggestions, whatever you would. And that's what gives me an idea of who you'd like to have back as we start to plan for 2017. So anytime, Allison@breadboxmedia.com, a seeking heart with Allison over on Facebook, or reconciledtoyou.com. You can click on contact me there. You can also leave me prayer request. You know what? We are buddies. We're friends. And I love being here for you. If you ever need to talk, or I get messages and people always say in the message, and even when they see me live, like I was at a retreat on some afternoon on Sunday, and people are like, I don't want to bug you. Like, you're not bugging me at all. You have no idea how edifying it is to me to know that what the Lord is doing in my life that brings me into your life is worthwhile. You know, that God is using my words. They're his words, but they're using my voice and my writing or whatever it is to inspire you to want to know him better. And it is a struggle. This world is going to be hard. Jesus tells us that, but he says also, take heart, for I have overcome the world, Jesus says. And he leaves us together in communion to relate to each other, to help each other, to build each other up, St. Paul says. If you need building up, please turn to me, because I need that all the time. I need that all the time. And I am so blessed to have people in my life who follow Jesus, who love him, who know what to say and how to like lift me up when I need it. Spiritual directors, priests, friends, you know, good godly girlfriends. Oh, I like that. Good godly girlfriends. I think I need a t-shirt that says that. Good godly girlfriends. I just wrote that down. The things that go in and out of my head. Anyway, most of it just slips right through, but sometimes things catch in there. But anyway, if you need anything, anytime, except for money, because I don't have any, but I can be happy to share what I do have with you, which is a love for Christ and scripture verses to lift you up or whatever you need. It's Allison@breadboxmedia.com. And if you want to help me back, you can go to breadboxmedia.com, click on friend of the show and see how you can support a seeking heart. I was telling you about my incredible weekend. So I went to liftedhigher.com for more information on that. It's adoration. My friend Kathy brought me and my son Adam into Boston, and we just had such a moving night with the Lord, and music and praise and worship and confession was incredible. That affirmation, because I had received this idea to renounce in prayer not too long ago, and it was like this affirmation and this reminder that the Lord's like, I told you what you needed to do. The Holy Spirit like nudged me on how to get past these difficulties, this doubt and fear and anxiety. And I keep forgetting. So, you know, I think I might even blog about renouncing, because I think it's important that since we have this great gift, that we use it. So in the name, so the spirit of whatever, fear, doubt, anger, in the name of Jesus, and I renounce you in the name of Jesus, or in Jesus's name, I renounce you. Either way, as long as you have what it is, I renounce, in Jesus's name, you are good. We get so stuck sometimes in the rubrics of how things are supposed to work, but God's beyond all of that. Then I talked about how I went to Weight Watchers. I really need to give a little update on how that's going too. I've been at it for about 6 months, 12 pounds down, 12 to go. I really thought it would happen quicker. You know, when I can't have gluten and I can't have dairy, and apparently now I can't have almonds, you think with such restrictions that I would be as thin as a rail, but it doesn't work that way, because some of the the substitutes for the gluten, the bread and the pasta, there's no light versions of them, but you know, we're making do. There's so many crosses in the world. And if this is my cross of eczema and food allergies is what I have, I'll bear it, because there's so many more people with much bigger crosses than that. My friend Kim, if you could just keep her in your prayers. She's having surgery tomorrow for breast cancer. She's a beautiful spirit, beautiful woman. And we just want to lift her in great prayer that it all goes well, that they get it all, and that she's returned to health quickly for her family, for us here at Breadbox Media, who love her so much. So again, keep Kim in your prayers for tomorrow as she receives surgery, mastectomy for breast cancer. So, you know, if this is my cross, praise God. And in fact, in Around the Table, Scott Hurd's book that we'll be looking at today at Wednesday. And again, Scott will be here on Friday, God willing. I'm so excited to share him with you on Friday. There's a chapter in here on suffering and, you know, using that for good for the others and not wasting. Because God doesn't waste a moment of our life. Why should we waste anything that he gives us? The suffering and the joys are both gifts if we offer them back for the good of others. And then we went for a hike, 4-mile hike after I got the Weight Watchers news. Yeah, there was no difficulty convincing me out of the house on Saturday for a walk when I got back. We took a 4-mile hike, just him and I. We asked Faithy to come with us, but she's so funny. She's like, no, she'll only go for a walk in the woods if Dad brings his kettle and makes her hot chocolate. He's got like a little thing that he can put a fire under and warm up hot water and make hot chocolate. And that's the only way she'll go. I personally don't want to sit and have anything in the woods. I just want to walk through them. Then that night, that evening, I had bought him tickets. His favorite book is Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. Our favorite movie of it, by the way, is The Muppets. If you've never seen A Muppets Christmas Carol, do it. Buy it if you, next time you're at any, you know, any store you see it at, or rent it through Netflix or what, not Netflix, but whatever. Get it. It's so adorable. It's one of the best renditions. He's read the book every year forever. And he says it's the closest to the book out there. And of course, it's the Muppets. So you can't go wrong with Miss Piggy as Bob Cratchit's wife. Like, come on. And he's Bob Cratchit. How cute is that? And Michael Caine is Scrooge, and he's just a perfect Scrooge. But Saturday night, I bought him tickets to it's called the Company Theater. It's in Norwell, Massachusetts, just a small community theater. And it was incredible, incredible. Like, what an amazing, the set, the costumes, the acting, the Scrooge was awesome. The young woman who played The Ghost of Christmas Past had like the spot on same voice as the one from A Christmas Carol. She actually looked like, I mean, the Muppets Christmas Carol. She looked like that character. It was incredible. It was just so well done. And I love supporting local theater. I love supporting any local business. And one of the things that during this holiday season, as you do your shopping, I send you out to the local bookstores, the Catholic and Christian bookstores in particular, Pauline Books and Media. And if they're in your area, make sure you visit them during this Christmas season and patronize them, help keep them in business, keep them going. And if you're a local production, you know, you think they're going to be cheesy, or even when they're cheesy, they're still really good. And if you're friends with me on Facebook, you know that sitting right behind me was Santa. This guy showed up in a big white beard with a red shirt. I'm like, if you're going to look like Santa, then don't wear red. So my husband and I took this not so selfie with Santa in the background, and I posted it on my Facebook page. It was pretty funny. We get back, we're going to look at the Eucharist through the eyes of the first followers of Christ around the table. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and we'll be right back.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We are looking this week at the book Around the Table, brand new book out from Scott Hurd, Ave Maria Press, retelling the story of the Eucharist through the eyes of Jesus's first followers. And Scott Hurd is the author of Allison's favorite book, the book that truly transformed my life. It is called Forgiveness, the Catholic Approach, out from Pauline Books and Media. Okay, I had written Eucharist with an H at the end of it in my notes, and I had to fix it. It wasn't going to make or break the world, but it was bugging me. It's a distraction. Can I say I'm such a perfectionist? Yeah. So not a perfectionist, but that was bugging me. This book is really clever. Really, really clever. Oh, just to round out. Sorry about that. A little frog in my throat. Just to round out the story about the weekend, then on Sunday, I went to Western Massachusetts Sacred Heart in Feeding Hills, Massachusetts. Thank you, Julie, very much for inviting me out. What a beautiful afternoon. It was about 30 of us together. We spent together. It was beautiful. Talked about entering Advent through the eyes of Mary. We did some Lectio Divina, that's some divine reading using Luke's account of the visitation. And then we talked about how many different ways you can use the rosary to get closer to Christ and to learn more about your faith and to build up prayer in your life. And it was wonderful. The Holy Spirit was on fire, especially because I had wanted to play Mary, Did You Know? And I forgot to download it. And then when I got there, Julie pulled me aside and she said, would you mind before we start if I play Mary, Did You Know? I thought that was pretty cool. The Holy Spirit is just amazing, truly amazing. And then to round off my weekend, we went, this is a thing called Bright Nights, and it is at Forest Dale Park, I think is the name of it, in Springfield, Massachusetts. And you just drive through in your car and there's lights everywhere. And it was fun. It was right down the street from where we were. It's 2 hours from my house. It's not a place I would normally go, but since it was right near where I was speaking, we did that. So we rounded all off. The Lord got us home safe and sound. Praise the Lord. And now here we are, Monday, here already, week 2 of Advent, talking about the Eucharist. Works for me. If you have anything you'd like to share today, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4, or you can always email me at aseekingheart@breadboxmedia.com. I think Allison@breadboxmedia.com exists as well. I keep saying that, but it's not in my notes, but I'm pretty sure it does. But if you... Really, if you tried to email me at Allison@breadboxmedia.com and for some reason I haven't responded to you, it's because I'm clueless as what my email address is. But you can also do info@reconciledtoyou.com. You can always go to Seeking Heart Facebook page and message me there. I'm not hard to find, especially on social media. Everything is at reconciled with a D to you. Or you can always call 573-4BREAD-4. You can text on that line or you can call in 573-4BREAD-4. So this book, so unique. Discover the meaning of the Eucharist through the unique and imaginative stories of 14 biblical characters, including Thomas, Barnabas, and Mary Magdalene, who were among the first disciples. Award-winning author R. Scott Hurd incorporates traditions of the church and his own lifelong fascination with the Eucharist to help you know Christ better, contemplate Scripture, and deepen your understanding of the Eucharistic mystery we celebrate today. Fabulous. What I really love about this book, and I think I might suggest it to my Bible study group, is that at the end of each chapter, there's two questions for journaling, contemplation, or conversation. Finally, somebody writes this the way that it is. Those are reflection questions, and those are three ways you can use it. You can journal, you can contemplate, you can just think about them, or you can use them as discussion questions. Then there's stop and pray with a little short prayer, then going deeper. And it is a list of Bible verses that relate to the person, the topic of that particular chapter. And I haven't seen it in Kindle, and I'll have to ask Ave Maria Press this question, but I'm assuming as a Kindle user that in the Kindle version, you can probably, these are probably clickable links to the Bible verses, which is awesome. But even if they're not, it's not hard to open up BibleGateway.com, my favorite go-to Bible app or website. It's available both ways. And just type in, you know, Psalm 8:2 and read it. I think this is one of the things I love the best about this book is that it does have that scriptural connection. And there's a thing about following, like, I love when scripture is throughout a book, and that's really important, really cool. But there is something really special about having the scripture yourself, opening up your Bible or plugging it in to Bible Gateway and encountering Christ in his words and his book. And you can underline it, you can write notes, you can, but what happens is that you don't just get that one line that the author was trying to share with you, but then the author and perfecter of our own life, of creator of the universe, he can speak to you when you get that Bible open. And sometimes it's that line that the author is talking about, but sometimes it's the one before it or after it, and you can get just lost in his word. And this is how we get to know Christ better, is that we spend time with the Bible, with the scriptures. If you've often wondered, how do I get to hear God, or, you know, I don't know when God is speaking to me, or if when I'm speaking to myself, spend time in his word. This is God's voice. This is Christ. We hear him because these are, especially if you're reading Luke's gospel, eyewitness accounts. These people saw Christ, spoke with Christ, heard him speak. It's inspired. It's the inspired word of God. So, of course, the writers have, I'm sure, just this incredible insight and ability to remember things. But this is God's voice. And once you start to read God's word, you will never be the same person again, ever. It is that powerful. For me, it completely transformed my life. I was a cradle Catholic, and then I was back in the church for about 10 years before I found scripture. And I thought I was a pretty good, quote unquote, good Catholic, going to Mass each week and volunteering, but I had no clue what it meant to be a follower of Christ until I started to read his word. And I love that each one of these chapters, all 14 of them, end with a list, a long list in some cases, of scriptures to bring you deeper. He actually calls it going deeper, to bring you into a deeper relationship, a deeper understanding, a deeper love and hope of our Lord. So good stuff here. Again, around the table, retelling the story of the Eucharist through the eyes of Jesus's first followers. As far as like gifts go at this time of the year, I'm thinking this would make a perfect gift for your pastor, for the deacon at your church, for the head of your teacher's, your child's religious ed teacher, the head of the religious ed department. Like, I always give the DRE a gift because I feel like she does more work than any of those volunteers that show up, and her salary is usually just above volunteer status. Let's be honest. The church secretary, the church, the sextons, the ones that clean it. Like, if you have any ability or a little extra to give, just to give them a little thank you, because they're the ones who help keep our church running and the programs there. And of course, our pastor, this would make a great gift. Around the table, Ave Maria Press. You know, that's very, every book I read, if I'm sharing it on the air, I'm recommending it. But when I go above and beyond and tell you to go buy it, like I did with Matt Swaim's The Eucharist and the Rosary, or telling you to give this as a gift, your Bible study leader, like looking for something new for January, really, I entreat you to consider this book. It's just so good. Let me take a paragraph from the intro. Like the disciples, Scott Hurd writes, we too have faith. We believe Jesus, but sometimes the things he said can leave us puzzled. That can be especially true of the Eucharist. Amen, Scott. The sacrament Jesus gave to us that one Passover night, surrounded by his disciples in that upper room. The Eucharist is a great gift and a priceless treasure, but is also, at its heart, a mystery, a sacred mystery, as the church has come to call it. And mysteries, by their very nature, can sometimes be hard to comprehend. That's why we speak of things being shrouded, quote unquote, shrouded in mystery. In the mystery of the Eucharist, we're invited to take it on faith that ordinary bread and wine become the body and blood of Jesus. At times, this may seem difficult to swallow. Ha, ha, ha. He didn't say ha, ha. I'm adding that. However, through our faith, which seeks to understand, we can chew over these mysteries. Okay, that one doesn't work. The swallow one was good. That one, eh. Going to call him out on that one a little bit. Chew over this mystery in our minds, and it can become much more digestible. Oh, such a humorous man. I promise you, the puns end there and the good starts. It is a mystery. It is hard to understand, and we'll never completely comprehend it. But with every little bit of more understanding that we're able to glean from this world, the more overcome and overwhelmed will be and receiving our Lord and Jesus in the Eucharist. And one of the things I have really come to do is after I receive, I go back to my seat, close my eyes, and just spend those moments intimately with my Lord and Savior. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We have one more segment. Please stay tuned.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. We're looking today at a new book out from Scott R. Scott Hurd. Scott Hurd is how he goes. And it's from Ave Maria Press. It is called Around the Table, Retelling the Story of the Eucharist Through the Eyes of Jesus' First Followers. And here are the followers that he introduces us to. Excuse me. Cleopas, Paul, Bartholomew, who's one of my favorites. He's also known as Nathaniel, and you've heard me tell about my godson, Nathaniel, who I've called Bart since he was a little guy. And because once I started to read scripture and realized that Nathaniel and Bartholomew were the same, I just had to call him Bart, and it's really quite sweet. So Bartholomew, there's no guile in Bartholomew, and there's certainly none in Nathaniel. He's well-named. There's somebody that's name I've never heard of, and I've never encountered him until Scott's book, Longinus. It looks like Long in Us. I'm sure that's not how it's pronounced. Mary, of course. Matthew, Peter, Mark, Simon, Thomas, Philip, Andrew, Mary Magdalene, and John. And I'm so excited to bring them, as many of them as I can, today and during Wednesday's show. So who is Saint Cleopas? So each chapter starts with who was and then the person that he's introducing us to. Were not our hearts burning within us, asked Saint Cleopas of his companion after listening to a mysterious stranger who accompanied them from Jerusalem to Emmaus on the day of Jesus' resurrection. At the end of that journey, the stranger was revealed as Jesus himself when he blessed, broke, and shared bread in Cleopas' Emmaus home. Before this encounter, Cleopas may have been one of 70 disciples Jesus had called to prepare towns for his upcoming visits, and it is said that he was ultimately martyred for his faith in the very house where he had hosted the risen Jesus. That's information I'd never heard before. That's why I love to read, because other people look stuff up and share, and you can have your mind blown. Like last week's book, The Eucharist and the Rosary, my mind was blown often. And Dr. Thigpen's book, the Catholic Scripture Studies, the Luke book, that was incredible too. Gosh, I barely skimmed the surface. I'm definitely revisiting that in 2017. Tradition, Scott Hurd continues, tells us that he was the older brother of Joseph, the husband of Jesus's mother, Mary, and that it may have been his own wife, also named Mary, who was his traveling partner on that first Easter. Yeah, they don't tell us at all who that companion is. Some people have always just assumed it was another disciple, a male, but it's very likely that it was his wife, Mary. And we food for the journey is the topic of this chapter. And let me get to what I wanted to share with you. One day, Scott writes, it will become clear to you the life of faith is itself a journey. I said that to you earlier, that it is a struggle sometimes, but it is always a journey. It's never ending here. It's only completed in the life after this. And of course, we hope and pray that that is with Christ in heaven forever, trying to be eternity minded and make all of our decisions and live our life focused on traveling towards Christ in all things. And Scott continues, as on any journey, you need to be fed and nourished, or else you aren't going to get very far. As a disciple, Jesus called you to walk on his way. He didn't, however, leave you to travel alone. He accompanies you and even supplies the provisions, words that set your heart aflame, and a meal that strengthens your spirit. Fortified with these gifts, you will know that there will be no turning back as you make your way to your destination. The destination, Scott Hurd continues again in his new book, Around the Table, Ave Maria Press, the destination is to be with Jesus for all eternity. And as providence will have it, your portal to that destination will be the very room in which you entertained the Lord. And if you can't tell yet, the format of Scott's book is he is talking to the person he's introduced us to. It's really a very unique way of traveling through a book. It's very dialogue-y. I'm such a dork. It's very engaging, I think is the word. But the dialogue, it just draws you in. It's very engaging. You feel like you're either the one speaking to the person he is introducing you to, or you're privy of this very private and in-depth conversation. And of course, just like the scriptures aren't always, they're not directed towards us specifically, they are definitely meant for us. The lessons here, the words of encouragement or of revelation, all meant for us. The destination, Scott continues, is to be with Jesus for all eternity. This time, however, Jesus won't vanish. You will no longer be on the way, for broken bread will have led to a heavenly banquet. So if you ever get a chance to read the scripture verse about the road to Emmaus, the Emmaus journey, Jesus appears, he walks for a while, revealing all of what is said of him in the Old Testament to these two followers. They're about to get to like a fork in the road, and they're going on to Emmaus, and he's going to go the other way. They invite him into their home to dine with him. He goes with them. He breaks the bread, and it's in the breaking of the bread that these men, or man and woman, Cleopas and his wife Mary, recognize this is Jesus. And then he disappears from their sight. And this is when Cleopas says, "Or our hearts not burning within us as he revealed the scriptures to us." And this whole idea of Jesus being revealed in the breaking of the bread. And if you've ever been to a Catholic mass, there is a point where the priest elevates the host and he breaks it. And there, whenever he breaks the bread, I always think about Christ, and there, like, he's present, he's here. And it's so hard for me to comprehend completely in my own human senses because they're faulty. But when I just let myself go for a moment, I can see him there in that moment, even if it's just a fleeting bit of understanding. The next chapter is Paul. So who was St. Paul? And Scott tells us, St. Paul, formerly Saul of Tarsus, either wrote or directly inspired at least 13 of the 27 books of the New Testament. His powerful letters and extensive travels to spread the gospel were first inspired by a miraculous encounter on the road to Damascus with the risen Jesus, who demanded, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" As a Roman citizen and convert from Judaism, Paul was an unlikely yet a most effective missionary to the Gentiles. Paul's writings, which predate the Gospels, FYI, isn't that cool information? That one I knew, helped Christians understand their unity with Jesus, both through the celebration of the Eucharist and his presentation of the church as the body of Christ. His final journey took him to Rome, where he was martyred around the year AD 67. And I absolutely love St. Paul's writings. I just connect with him. Romans 7 is one of my favorites, where he's really going on about how he knows what he's supposed to do, and he knows the truth, but yet he keeps falling into behavior or making choices that aren't the best for him, that he knows he shouldn't be making, but yet the flesh is weak, and his ability sometimes to make the best choices, he just fails. And I love that he's honest and that I can learn from him. Of course, he tells us we can't stay in that situation. You're not allowed to stay there. We have to fight through it. The last thing I want to talk about today before ending the show is suffering. I talked about that earlier, how, you know, there's so many people suffering. I have eczema, which is all over my hands, making them painful. And typing is difficult. Writing is deep. Even just, you know, pulling up my pants after I go potty has become a challenge. Just a little bit. Yeah. TMI, I know. I'm really good at that. I actually do pretty good on the show, not giving away all that's creeping through my head. But suffering, I'm going to just read what he says here in this chapter on St. Paul. Scott heard. Suffering, however, won't be the end of the story, neither his nor yours. Jesus died in his body, rose in his body, and ascended to heaven in his body. For the members of his body who fed on his body, that is their hope as well. For as often as you eat this bread, you will insist, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. And when he comes, you continue, Jesus will change our lowly body to conform with his glorious body. And his friends, those who were one bread and one body, will then be united with their one Lord in an eternal chorus of praise. And every bit of our body, when it is suffering, we can remember Jesus on the cross. We can unite our suffering with his suffering and ask the Lord to do good with it. It's not ever going to be as close as what Jesus went through. Praise the Lord. I hope not. I try very hard not to use the word excruciating when I'm talking about being in pain, because that word is really held for a crucifixion. It comes from that. And since I hope that I pray that I'm never crucified, I know I will never know that pain. But we all have suffering, either mental or emotional or physical, and we can offer it to Christ. And that's our merits. That's our offering to Christ, especially when we come to Mass and we're receiving the Eucharist. We can offer these things to him. We'll pick up with Around the Table on Wednesday. You've been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.